We want to start by saying thank you, our awesome patrons, for letting us kick off our first long-form miniseries covering A Gravity Boys, which won a hard-fought poll against Magu-chan and Siren. Each episode, we're going to be covering part of the manga that was too long and some say too wild to cover in a normal episode.
A little bit too wild and crazy, you know?
Oh, God.
A little mature, maybe. Not sort of immature, actually.
Yeah. The series really puts the boy in... boys when it comes to the level of humor.
Yeah.
In this episode, we're going to be covering volumes 1 and 2, the first 16 chapters. Jordan, you mind telling the audience a little bit about it?
Yes, this is written by Atsushi Nakamura, and the author's other works include Kuro Kuroku, and he contributed to the One Piece Chapter 1000 celebration.
I love it.
And it ran between December 9th, 2019 to April 30th, 2021. So honestly, pretty decent run, which is why we're doing this series and not
it's a single episode.
Yeah, 51 chapters for 7 volumes.
We actually had a guest I suggested for it. And he's like, nah, I don't want to read all that. And we're like, all right, maybe this is too long to ask a guest to read 50 chapters.
Yeah, it kind of is.
But... Jordan, though, why don't we hear about what happened in those 50 chapters?
Oh, no! The Earth destroyed itself in a nuclear war. Don't worry, though, because 4 17-year-old boys made it to the planet Alpha Jumbro.
Emphasis on the bro.
Yeah, and Jumbo.
My name is Humongous.
Yes. They are of what? Humongous of what?
Humongous what? Oh, God, that was a fucking vintage video at this point.
I don't get it. But anyway, they are the A-Gravity Boys. Saga, the hot-headed leader. Geralt, the pretentious super genius and a witcher. Baba, a big friendly pervert. And Chris, a femboy doctor. They start freaking out and realize that there's no chicks on this planet until a mysterious higher being arrives to give them a gift. An elixir that will turn one of them into a girl. Everyone starts hitting on Chris until Geralt determines that perhaps the guy with the biggest dick would turn into the girl with the biggest breasts. And Saga kicks the elixir to the other side of the planet so they can keep their friendship together because it was tearing them apart. The higher being, or HB, shows up again to say he'll either give them a super communicator or a hot hologram maid named Puffin. And the boys put aside their horniness to ask that she be reunited with her family. The HB is moved and gives them the communicator, which winds up being useless anyway. Then, while gathering food, Geralt has to poop, but he can only do so in his personal bathroom. The team bands together to get him to the ship and rejoice when he's able to take a dump.
That was one of my favorite pages.
That was like one of the first panels to just make me laugh out loud, like legitimately. There are more legitimately funny gag chapters, and the gang continues to fail at hiding their attraction to Chris because he looks just like a pretty girl. Until Baba's underwear is stolen, along with Chris, who's kidnapped. The A-Grav boys are on the case, including Geralt, who drinks steroid juice to keep up. They find Chris with a bunch of tiny little dudes and one big dude, and they're called the Jumbros, and Chris is totally fine. Four new guys show up on a different ship from an enemy country, and the A-Grav boys are devastated because they hoped that the ship would be filled with babes. They are a punk named Luo, a Hemsworth brother named Volk, a science guy who idolizes Geralt and may be like kinda in love with him named Arsh, and their leader Grislo, who thinks that Chris is a girl and tries to date him, and a girl named Lita, who is unfortunately a robot. Popcorn David.
Grislo immediately gets jealous of the A-Grav boys because they have Chris and brands them the enemy even though his crew thinks they're fine. The new guys catch Geralt sunning his anus and slapping his ass with a water wheel. Arsh is devastated and blames Baba for turning him into a pervert even though Geralt was just trying to deal with his hemorrhoids like a normal person. Jordan, is that how you deal with hemorrhoids?
It's not everybody.
There's even like an offer note saying we don't think this actually works.
Isn't that everyone? What?
Then they find Saga and Baba, who built a girl robot with huge boobs out of spare parts for their ship. The HB appears, sending all the boys to a giant Las Vegas planet for a flirting competition. Volk immediately starts picking up every alien chick while a bunch of them think Chris is cute. Grislo, Baba, and Geralt get arrested for wearing perverted clothes that they got at a sex shop. And Saga wins the competition when he saves Lita from some pushy male robot and meets some alien maids that are grateful for him helping their friend Puffin get back to her family. An army of maids storms the area, bringing victory to the A-Grav boys. However, Grislo, Baba, and Geralt are in jail for 3 days. Geralt makes friends with a space pirate named Captain Sash, who saves them from a gang of tiny aliens, but ropes them into an unnecessary prison break that puts them on the universe's most wanted list, and HB tells them that bounty hunters will be coming after them.
Yeah.
God, what a fucking adventure for 16 chapters.
The thing is, there's a lot more that happens in there that's like mostly gag related. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of it's going to come back. But it's also, since it is a gag manga, it's kind of like, what do I put here? Because I also don't want to ruin all the jokes.
You also forgot one thing in that HP tells them that they can save Earth if they invent a time machine, and they can do that on the planet, which I think is probably very important because it's probably going to be a major plot point for the rest of the series.
That's good. Yeah, it's true. I forgot about that when I was... plot summary, that is actually extremely important. Yeah.
It's okay. We all make mistakes.
There's a lot to cover. It's a, and you don't know what's going to be important. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get into the characters.
Yeah. So Jordan, why don't you tell us about Saga?
Saga is kind of like your typical Goku character. He's a little bit, he's kind of dumb, very hot-headed, nice guy, also horny. But yeah, he's kind of like your friendly dumb guy with like a sense of justice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't like it when Lita's getting pushed around, and I support that. I respect that. Yeah,
I do appreciate the dynamic where everyone, so he's kind of a straight man, but everyone in this series is astronomically stupid.
Yeah.
So he's like the 80 IQ in a group of 60 IQ people.
Well, I would say Chris is like that.
Oh, you're right. Chris is the straight man.
Yeah.
Which is ironic given that he makes everyone gay. So I guess I'll segue into talking about Chris. So Chris is a doctor. He is a femboy deluxe. He's timid, but he puts him when he needs to. And he actually, it's interesting, Jordan. I'm very curious about your thoughts about how you feel Chris represents the, I guess, gender spectrum. Because the interesting thing is he is unabridgedly a male heterosexual.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. So he's not like other dynamics we've seen where, you know, he embraces it. He actively is kind of against the fact that he looks so feminine.
It's kind of interesting. It's not so much that he's against the fact that he looks feminine as much as like the way that everybody treats him, because like what's interesting about this series is that all the guys are like unabashedly explicitly into him. Like they are like attracted to him. He does look like a girl.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's a moment where he takes off his shirt and the mangaka censors his chest in one of the best censorships I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's like the address where you can send letters about it.
It's great. Yeah, no, it's kind of interesting. I feel like Chris is kind of naive, but also does it seem to immediately recognize, oh, you guys are like into me, aren't you?
Right.
I'm turning you on, aren't I? Weird. I also think it's funny how Grislo is also for the entire time just completely unaware that he's a guy.
Do you think he'll ever find out?
I don't know. I really don't. That should have been one of my guesses. But
Chris is definitely the most in-depth character.
Yes, I think so, too. I also like how the entire crew recognizes, you know what? Yeah, Geralt's the genius, but like, really? We rely on Chris being level-headed. And when Chris has a brain fart.
Yeah, Chris can't name things for shit.
Yeah, that was funny. They thought that Chris just had a brain fart. And then they realized, oh, wait, no, Chris just can't name shit because they're trying to name the planet.
Or he was trying to name their city.
Yeah. And they keep putting their names into it. And Chris doesn't even realize that he's doing it when he calls it like Neo Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're just like the lamest Final Fantasy names. It's great.
Yeah. To get into the next character, Geralt Zeman, who definitely sounds like a Final Fantasy character. He's a physicist, all about that science. Real bad hemorrhoids. He's very reckless. I think he definitely has the highest active stupidity versus actual intelligence in the series.
Yeah.
He's like some 300 IQ genius, but then he does stuff like almost kill himself with steroids. It's the wisdom intelligence difference.
Yeah, exactly. He has zero wisdom on his character sheet. He's like, oh man, dick size correlating to breast size. Yeah, that.
I mean, the math adds up.
Yeah, the math does add up. I totally get it. Yeah. He's also like super famous across the world. Like they call him the new Einstein or something.
Yeah. Oh, God. And then why don't you tell us about which they actually kind of made a Baba Izzy reference, which I don't know if that game existed. So I don't know if that was a coincidence or maybe my timeline's wrong, but it was very strange.
Yeah, so he's the engineer. He's just like a big dude.
And he has a giant peepee.
He has giant peepee. The censorship of his giant peepee is also very funny. The author just throws in a little box with, let me tell you about some of the creatures that exist on this. All right, so there's this big snake, big nice snake, just covering over his dick because his underwear gets stolen and he doesn't want to put on new underwear because he's like, I already plan.
Yeah, he plans out his underwear.
I'm not going to change for anything. And there's a ton of really great jokes just covering up his dick. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Final notable character, just for the sake of time, is Higher Being. He just really shitposts. They install a doorbell, which he actually uses, which is really funny. And he just gives them like trolley problems.
I really love how, like, the new guys walk in and they just see them all hanging out with, like, the higher being, and they're all just drinking coffee, including the higher being.
They just hang out. Just love how their relationship normalized after, like, the first time they met him.
Yeah.
And when the new guys show up, they're like, what the fuck? And he's like, ah, that's just higher being. We call him HB for short.
Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, get used to him. Oh, man. Well, David, let's get into, why do you think it failed?
One of the things is that if this isn't your kind of humor, there's nothing for you here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't think dick jokes are funny, you're not going to read this series.
First of all, I don't understand you.
Yeah. It's also the series doesn't really know what it wants to be. Like, does it want to be an actual, does it want to be like a joke of the week? Does it want to be serialized? Does it want to be kind of like a soft plot, like Witch Watch? And it really plays around with it. And I think it just takes a long time to really get into it, where ultimately it seems like they actually are going to have a very strong plot, but it meant the first like 15 chapters kind of didn't contribute to that plot.
I think that is the biggest issue, is that the author doesn't really know what's going to happen. Hasn't really landed on an overarching plot yet. Like, it takes him a while to really figure out what he's doing, and he kind of changes it up, which I actually like, because I think he does it in interesting ways. But ultimately, yeah, if you're looking for plot-driven manga, this is it's a little confusing as to what this is, because it seems like there's a plot, and there isn't a plot, and there is, and yeah.
It's also sometimes it does do that classic, like, lazy joke where they have the characters explain why someone did something was ridiculous and silly. Like, when someone's just like, oh, hey, what's up to the 40 being? They're like, did you just say what's up so casually to a four-dimensional being? I'm like, yeah, that's why it's funny, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which also shows, like, the target audience, where the author didn't have confidence the audience could know what he was trying to make the joke about.
Who was the guest we had who mentioned that, like, a lot of Japanese humor is based more around the reaction?
I mean, we've had people. I think Maxi B is probably, it's definitely, like, even One Piece does it, but I think I just find it annoying as a personal thing.
It, like, yeah, I mean, look, we can't read it from the Japanese context because we're not Japanese, but to us, it does just feel like we get it.
Yeah.
We get it. Get it, man.
And then what about you? Are there any things that really stood out to you as negatives while you read this?
Sometimes the jokes don't land. And also, yeah, I mean, the Chris stuff, I don't really have a problem with, but sometimes it is, it does kind of push it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
I do think generally it's funny and well done, but yeah, I could see somebody having an issue with that.
I completely agree. And then I really don't know how to feel about Chris. Do you think there's anything, I guess, kind of controversial about his depiction? Or do you actually think this is acceptable representation of a character that I don't know really the best language, because he clearly identifies as a heterosexual male?
Femboy.
Femboy is the best way. Genuinely, femboy is the best way to describe Chris.
You could also see it as a parody of the fact that, like, so many manga have that character. And the manga is, like, that's almost the point. I mean, it's kind of about a bunch of guys all alone, isolated, without girls. But it's also, like, on the flip side, it's kind of interesting how it's, like, all the characters are bisexual because they're all into Chris.
Yeah.
Basically, at this point, unless they do anything super blatant, I'm just going to be like, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, you know, it's like, it might get worse. But I think for now, it's fine.
Yep. And then, so Jordan, what were some things that you did like about this?
Most things, actually. I liked a lot of stuff. I thought that the jokes, a lot of them are, like, legitimately really fucking funny. Like, the timing is really good sometimes. And I also like how a lot of the gags kind of come back.
Oh, yeah. This author is really good at remembering the things he's seeded.
I really never would have guessed that the hologram maid was going to come back as like a relevant plot point. That kind of threw me off guard and maybe like pay more attention to what happened in the previous chapters, because I'm like, maybe that shit will come back.
And I think also the art, when it's sometimes it's a little off model, but overall the art I think is very solid.
I think the art's really good generally. Like, I think it looks really good. They show their rooms and each one of their rooms is styled to reflect their personalities. It also looks really good. I also think that the group has good chemistry. Like, while they are attracted to Chris, they're also legitimately good friends with Chris.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to hurt him. Like, they're trying not to be attracted to him, basically. And I don't get the sense it's out of a gay panic thing. It's so much as it's out of a, you're my friend, Chris. And this is ruining our relationship.
It kind of reminds me of Chainsaw Man, where everyone is stupid, but in different ways. So they all feel like unique characters. Like, all of these characters are, well, besides Chris being the straight man, all of them are very stupid, but they feel stupid in different ways.
Yeah.
I also like how they resolve the gender elixir, which I think really could have been a toxic plot element for a long time. And they just were like, they just chuck it. And I thought that was great that they just got rid of that. And they show how much of higher being an asshole.
Yeah, I agree. That could have been really bad. Like, there are very few good ways that that could have ended.
It's also, they point out intelligently, one female is still not enough to save the species. You need, I think, at least 100 breeding pairs to recover, have enough genetic diversity for a species.
I also respected that because, like, I thought it was going to be like, oh, we're going to repopulate the species. But yeah, that's not really how it works. You need more. Like, I heard at one point you need like 7, but like, I don't know. That doesn't sound right. Smarter people who maybe Geralt from A Gravity Boys will be able to figure this out.
And also, the series also completely owns how fucking stupid and immature it is.
Completely. The series knows exactly what it is.
And then, Jordan, what were some of your little miscellaneous thoughts about this series?
There's like a surprising amount of dicks.
There's just, you haven't even gotten to the dick heavy party.
I've heard rumors about it from you. So
you'll find out.
Oh, yes. I am excited. I think that like the depiction of horniness is, it's not super over the, it's kind of weirdly believable because it's like they are literally 17-year-old boys and they're stuck on a planet with no girls and it doesn't completely destroy their friendships. They don't become insane horny beasts. It's just kind of like they are horny 17-year-old boys. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And then I feel like this series definitely does feels like it's the same kind of comedy as Witch Watch, which, as you know, I also adore.
Yeah.
Along with Moira King. So just, yeah, I just enjoy it. And this is also probably the most LGBT manga ever made in Shonen Jump.
Everybody is basically explicitly bisexual.
Yeah.
In this manga, which is shocking for Shonen Jump.
Except for Chris.
True, we don't know about Chris. Chris has not really expressed much attraction. Yeah, we actually don't know.
Yeah, imagine if Chris is asexual and it makes that joke about Chris being their ace in the hole really, really good.
Also, Chris is dumb. I do like how when they meet Grizzlo legitimately thinks that Chris is a girl.
Yeah, and so he might also be a heterosexual character.
That is true. Well, you know, if he's attracted to Chris, then I guess he effectively is not. But
I mean, that's not how that works because he thinks Chris is female. So yeah, we'd have to see how it changes if he finds out that Chris is male.
Yeah, that is true. The A-Grab boys are very aware of that.
Yeah, they all want to have sex with Chris, even though they know he's male.
That's a good point. But also, I like how he's like, oh, you want to jump in the hot spring? And Grizzle's like, oh, I've never done that before. And he's like, oh, my God, this guy has never had any friends. I will be your first friend. I will be your first.
I'll be your friend, Jordan.
Oh, David, thank you. I've also had no friends.
It's OK. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why we're doing a podcast about manga.
And then Jordan, though, speaking of the gang, how many A Gravity Boys would you rate this out of 4 A Gravity Boys?
Well, you ranked it 3 out of 4, and honestly, I agree with that. I think that that's a good...
I think it's a good start.
It's a good start.
I didn't drop it when I started reading it recreationally, which shows you that I think it had a pretty good solid 2 volumes.
I wouldn't have dropped it either.
Well, Jordan, though, where are some of your thoughts about where you think it'll go from here?
I think that some bounty hunters are going to show up and some of them are like hot ladies and they're going to be into them. I think that there's some budding romantic tension between Saga and Lita, the female robot. Yeah, I don't know. Like he saved her from those guys. She seemed a little like, you know, anime blushing kind of, even though she's a robot, you know.
Yeah.
And then I think the space pirate is going to come back to help them, but winds up hurting them.
Makes sense to me. So, yeah, we'll keep track of that and try and see how accurate Jordan's guesses were. But I also want to thank you, Jordan, so much for being a great co-host and helping with editing.
Thank you. And thank you, David, for also being a great co-host and editing.
I also want to give props to Shannon for their awesome cover art. You can find her online at Illuminati, and you can find us on Twitter at Shonen Flopcast and our website, shonenflop.com. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And once again, thank you to all of our absolutely fantastic patrons that allowed us to start doing this miniseries.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, that's it. Keep that gravity up, boy.
Get rid of that gravity, because we are the A-Gravity Boys. Anyway, bye.
Bye.